This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And now for something completely different.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Strap yourself in.
Because we're set up, switched on and ready to go.
What's going on?
One light, two lights, three lights, four lights, five lights.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And yes, I am very much mistaken.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Right, Chris.
Right, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good day, good night, goodbye. How the devil are you all? Welcome to, or one of you that's in at the moment, how are you? Welcome along. It is number two in the series of the Formula One show. Almost got a new introduction. We've got new graphics. We just need to get some suitable music that the Formula One aren't going to go a little bit mad at. But it is that time. We're going to be looking at the latest news. We're going to be looking ahead to the Saudi Grand Prix and back to the Bahrain? Who is she? Bahrain Grand Prix. Oh, you know what I mean. We're looking back to last week's. And clean my teeth this morning. Can't do a thing with them. And I'm going to bring in my F1 buddy. If you think he's looking a little bit nervous, he is coming live from his toilet because he is sat on that because Liverpool have got Real Madrid later. I mean, they're only, what is it, 5-1, 5-2 behind or something? And let's be honest with you. Going into that game having just demolished Bournemouth, of course, they will be very, very comfortable. Oh dear. Maybe not. Doug, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Chris. I'm good. How are you, mate?
I'm not so bad. Probably not as nervous as you.
Yeah, you can kind of say that. Hi, Nate. Yeah, I am not looking forward to tonight's game. Yeah, we need a miracle. Let's just say that.
You need another Istanbul.
We need another Istanbul, and we just need to basically not concede.
Yes, I think that would... is this like at Anfield or at Madrid?
The Bernabeu.
Oh, God. Well, look, you know, I know you can go to places like the Vitality and get a good result there.
Oops.
Exactly, oops. Three jobs, Doug. That's all I can say. Three jobs. That number's getting higher each and every week. I take the piss, and we're on the same number of points as the team that's third from bottom. So Jade is in. Hi, Jade and Chris.
Hi, Jade.
Home from, I don't know why then. I read that. Just got home from having a baby. I'm sorry, Jade. I've probably just completely changed your whole week here. So I'll try that again. Honestly, my teeth aren't working. My eyes aren't working. Hi, Doug and Chris. Good time. We just got home from having a lovely coffee and a lovely day with my 73-year-old granddad. I hope he is well, Jade, and you are obviously looking after him there. That is nice to see. Jade, and then James is in. Good Hi, evening, James. Jade. How are you? How the hell are we below you? That is, you know, below Nottingham Forest, but to now say we're below Everton, my God. You know I jest. You know I jest. And as he says there, hit the likes and subscribe. And everybody is saying hello to everybody else. So welcome along. So this is the Formula One show. And what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to say go through some news. But what I want, first of all, because we did the watch along last time and everybody sort of said, who are you supporting? Who are you backing? Who's, you know, your thing? Well, normally I go for British drivers, but I nailed my flag to this particular gentleman's post at the start of the Grand Prix. And I've got to say, for once in my life, it wasn't a bad choice. Because we are backing Aston Martin and Fernando Alonso. What do you think about their chances? I mean, a podium, was it his 99th?
99th, yeah, 99th podium. So if he gets a podium at the weekend, it'll be his 100th podium, which would be absolutely amazing.
Yes, yes. And it's good to see that I managed to get a picture of him with a smile on his face. He's not known for being a smiler, is he? Let's be honest, you know.
No, but I think after the weekend he had, and I think he was excellent. It was a great drive from Alonso, and you know, that's the thing as well. I think we've kind of wanting the Aston Martins to sort of be the sort of to upset the Ferraris, upset the Red Bulls, but that was a fantastic drive from Alonso, and hopefully long may it continue.
I mean, you usually get one team that dominates for a while. I mean, obviously, at the moment, it's looking like Red Bull. Before that, it was Mercedes. I'm old enough to remember when McLaren was top of the tree. Williams was even top of the tree for quite a while with Damon Hill and other drivers. And it's just nice, a bit like with the football. You know, you get fed up. And as much as I obviously liked it because he was British when, you know, Hamilton kept winning, it's nice to see these other teams coming through. And the battle for that third position was more exciting than the battle for the top two.
It was. I mean, he obviously had what, you know, it was like had Alonso, Russell, Hamilton. It was that very, very good. Think, yeah, James, I can't believe Leicester are below Everton as well. I've got to be honest. But obviously, kudos to you guys for obviously, you know, beating Brentford. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the battle for third was the most entertaining aspect of this of this Grand Prix.
Yes, definitely. And do you think that? I mean, there's a lot of rules go on in F1, isn't there? We're going to come on to that in a second with the news about Leclerc. But I suppose they're trying to make it fairer because obviously in all sports, and we know it in football, you know, there's certain clubs that have got more money than Nuzzle memory, no thank you. Go away, Mr. Twitch, trying to get by followers. We're not interested. I've put me off now, what I was going to say. But you've got the big boys, and you've got the big boys in Formula One as well. Do you think this is the season now they've got somebody like Fernando Alonso? And sometimes when you've been at the top of the tree, you do tend to sort of hang around, not disrespect, but hang around sort of the smaller teams a little bit and just plod along. But I think he's got the hunger back, hasn't he?
I think he does. I think he's got that hunger that he had at Renault as well, when obviously he won a world title with Renault. And I think as well, you know, I think he's doing really, really well this season so far. I do think he's got his hunger back. I think he does have his hunger back. And I think he could be well one to watch this weekend for sure.
And the thing is as well is that you only need something to happen, as in a crash or two cars coming together, as we saw, you know, in Bahrain, and it can completely throw off the whole race, and it does leave it open.
Definitely, and I think Aston Martin are one of those sides who are going to do really, really well. I think they got, obviously, Lance Stroll. He's not very, very experienced, but, you know, he had a good drive the other day. And when you've got experience like Alonso in your team as well, it does make for a very, very interesting season. But, yeah, fantastic drive from a very experienced driver. And, hopefully this season will be a very good one for Alonso, and I think he made a good decision. I think he made a very good decision to join Aston Martin, because obviously they had Sebastian Vettel there last season, and I think him moving there has made them more competitive, I think.
Yeah. And like I say, Nate said there, he was just about to ask me who I was backing. I can remember to me, Aston Martin, James Bond, when I was growing up, Aston Martins was the aspirational car. So, yeah, come on, Aston Martin. My cap is on order. Now, talking about the rules, I've got to say, I've said to you before, I do not have any notion about how these rules work in Formula One. But the news today that Charles Leclerc, or as obviously we like to call him now, LeDrop, is going to drop at least, and I say at least 10 places on the grid on Sunday.
I don't know what it is with Charles Leclerc, but ever since he's gone to Ferrari, he's had reliability issues time and time and time again. And now they're having to fit a new sort of a gearbox in there. It's just...
They called it the Energy Store and Control Electronics.
Mm.
And apparently you're only allowed two in a season. And this is his third one. Because, of course, he did drop out of the Bahrain Grand Prix. I mean, 10 places, that means it's, you know, even if he was to get pole, 11th is the best he could hope for.
Yeah, and it's not the easiest of places to get out of as well. So, yeah, look, wherever he finishes and, you know, qualified on Saturday, it could be very, very intriguing to see where he will finish. But you've got to feel for him because, as we said, reliability issues. I mean, the one thing which isn't really predictable with Leclerc is that I kind of saw this happening. I thought he might retire. Because, as I said last week, he doesn't really turn sort of pole positions or sort of very, very good grid positions into sort of points. Mm. Always seems to have one of these races where he just crashes out. So it's a shame for Leclerc, but he does. And obviously, we'll obviously see as well, Saudi Arabia is quite a narrow track as well, so it's not the best to sort of overtake. As all, it could be a long, long race for Leclerc for sure. So hopefully, you know, Carlos Sainz would be able to, you know, get the points for Ferrari. But yeah, you've got to feel for Leclerc. If you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Well, he certainly will. And of course, if anything else goes wrong on the car, he could end up with falling back even more places. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get, you know, pole position. It's probably unlikely. So we could be looking at 13th, 14th. I mean, I love, in a way, I love street races. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you don't get a good start, you know, you can't just necessarily roar away and, you know, like you can in a normal race. But then it's a lot harder to overtake. It's going to be a good one to watch. Well, come on, I've got something, again, a discussion about another street circuit coming up. But for fans of the Sound of Music, the hills are alive with the sound of Formula One engines. It's been announced that Formula One will continue to race in Austria until 2027 after a new four-year agreement was reached with the promoter. The Austrian Grand Prix returned to the World Championship in 2014, and there were 303,000 supporters in attendance at last year's sold-out event. It was the 10th year this year, anniversary. Mm-hmm. Okay, they got another 4 years at the old Red Bull Ring. There seems to be, and I'm not complaining, but it's good to see when, you know, these places. I grew up, and every year it seemed to be that Formula One was threatening to pull out from, pull out the Formula One from the UK. It's nice to see consistency there, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, the Austrian Grand Prix, the Red Bull Ring, as you like to call it, it's one of those tracks where you literally see, like, mountains in the distance. Yes. And then you're, like, it's almost like you're sort of racing into the mountains to sort of come down from the mountains. Yeah. I love Austria. I think it's a fabulous race. And I'm very, very happy with that news because it's a very, very good race. And it's the one... We always know that, you know, the one with Austria is obviously before the British one as well. Yeah. So, no, I'm very, very happy with that news. And it is one of my favourite tracks in the calendar for sure.
Yeah. Cyber Leader is in. Good evening, Cyber Leader. How the devil are you, sir? Nate says, I'll be back in Alfa Romeo and Valtteri Bottas. We'll talk about him in a little bit because we're going through sort of the last race and how everybody did. But, I mean, with Austria, whenever I watch it, I expect Julie Andrews to come running over and run across the track. But talking about street circuits and talking about it being the one before London, I don't know if you saw this, and I had to double check whether I was sort of... up to date with the news, but they are talking about a London Grand Prix. Talks are underway for London Grand Prix around the Royal Docks. A Grand Prix in London could come as early as 2026, with talks underway between planners, consultants and at Liberty Media. The street race would see cars racing down the waterfront along the Royal Albert and Royal Victoria Docks, before turning around the Excel Centre with floating grandstands capable of holding 95,000 spectators on the 5.9-kilometre track. That was Sky bringing that news. That would be very exciting.
That would be. Obviously, we haven't had one in sort of London. Yeah, I like the sound of that, actually. I do like the sound of that. My only sort of question would be, though, what would happen to Silverstone? Would that replace Silverstone?
I was just going to ask you that same thing, yes.
Yeah, that's my only sort of concern about that. Because obviously Silverstone is one of those, you know, old tracks that you really, really like to enjoy as well. But I've got to say, I'm all for change in F1. And if they want to do one in London, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it would be nice to have them both, but mm-hmm. I can't. It's amazing. I mean, when you come to think, in a way, we, England, UK, whatever, we are the biggest. Most of the big teams are based here.
Yeah.
Not just the British teams. You've got Mercedes here as well. But yeah, it would be a shame to lose Silverstone. Maybe if we lose Silverstone, maybe bring in, and we're having the London one, then maybe, I don't know if what your racetracks are like in Scotland. Could we have a Scottish Grand Prix?
Maybe. You never know. Well, I don't know. The problem is that there's not one place that I can think that's really, really big enough for a Scottish one. The Highlands, maybe? Like somewhere up there?
Do we not go around the edge of Loch Ness?
Loch Ness is absolutely beautiful, but I can't see them wanting to do an F1 around Loch Ness.
Going up in the middle of the loch, raising.
I mean, there is one sort of racetrack that I've sort of raced at, and it's in like go karts. It's Knockhill. That's in sort of Fife, but it's not really like a F1 sort of idea for a track or anything like that. But I can only dream that there'd be an F1 in Scotland, but I can't see it.
I like Nate's comment here. I don't know anything about F1. I'm just picking someone random and sticking with it. You go, mate. You go. I just didn't want to go with the normal, you know, the red button. I can say Aston Martin are my favourite cars. This is a good question, and we did touch on this earlier. Can Aston Martin, talking of them, be a contender? It says here, can Aston Martin capitalise on Red Bull's cost cap penalty and be title contenders ahead of Ferrari and Mercedes? Aston Martin have Red Bull worried. The AMR23 has already shown its podium potential at the Bahrainian Good GP. Are Aston Martin now best placed to capitalise on Red Bull's cost cap penalty and be a championship contender? I mean, you've got to say, Mercedes still looking a little bit of disarray.
Yeah, they didn't have the pace at the weekend. I thought Hamilton was really, really slow coming down the sort of the corners, and you know, Alonso went past him pretty easily. To tell you the truth, and then obviously he had Stroll sort of behind him as well, but I do have a feeling that with obviously the penalty that's obviously coming for Red Bull, when that will be is another thing not altogether. But I do think that Aston Martin are definitely more sort of situated to be sort of, you know, title contenders there. And I do think they can challenge the Red Bulls. I think if they can do it at Bahrain, there's no doubt they can do it elsewhere as well. I think we're in for a very, very good season. And I think if Aston Martin can continue the way that they've been doing, and obviously we need Ferrari to sort of be back up there. We need to see Mercedes as well, but we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, for me, it does tend to go in cycles. A bit like I say, football, you have, you know, Liverpool dominance in the 70s, then United, then it, you know, and Formula One's the same. We do have these cycles of when one team is more dominant. And I think it's harder when you've had the dominance that Mercedes have had to sort of drop it. All right, you could say, you know, the first one that they lost was a bit of a joke, really, you know, with Verstappen and the safety car and all that. But I'm just thinking, are we going to see possibly Hamilton? I think this is his last year for Mercedes in the current contract, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. I haven't heard him anywhere closer to signing a new deal or anything like that. So
I'm just wondering, I mean, if you put yourself in Hamilton's head for a second, he's got his 8 world championships equal with Schumacher.
Yeah.
He wants that, doesn't he? He wants
that. Yeah, 100%.
Of course, you know, any sportsman worth their salt. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, if he never wins another championship, he's done bloody well to equal it. So fair play to him, but he wants that. And if he feels that Mercedes are not going to give him that, could you see him jumping to another team?
Quite easily. The only thing is, I can't see him in a Red Bull. I can't really see him in a Ferrari. Maybe Aston Martin? Possibly.
Go anywhere, is he? Like I said before, you see a lot of world champions that demand too much from a team, and a team say, all right, well, thank you very much, goodbye. I mean, you know, Damon Hill won his world championship and was dropped within a week, I think, by Williams. But and he ended up at Jordan. But because, and we say, you look at Vettel, you know, after Ferrari and what have you. So there's not many teams, I don't think, that can actually offer him that that chance to win the ninth. And you say Red Bull. I mean, if Red Bull come sat there thinking, if they put they put Hamilton and Verstappen together, we're going to get fireworks, but they would dominate, wouldn't they? More so than they have been.
Yeah, they would. But we have to remember, Sergio Perez is a very, very good driver. Very good driver. So it'd be very, very interesting to see where Perez would go as well. But I think the two Red Bulls up front, at Bahrain, going to be very, very intriguing, to say the very, very least. Hi, Brad. Hope you're good, mate.
I mean, Andrew says here, Hamilton will not be the number one driver in any top four team.
I actually think George Russell has actually now moved ahead of him, I would say.
Well, he finished higher last season. And good evening, Zuki. How are you? And James says here, I think Hamilton will jump ship. Where do you think he'll go to, James? I just think that if I was if I was Christian Horner, one, I'd be very, very happy because I'd be married to Ginger Spice. That would make me very happy. But apart from that, if I was sat there thinking that, because you're not supposed to have team rules these days, are you? You're not supposed to, I believe, you know, ask drivers. No. You could, there's ways you get around it, obviously. But I don't know, if I was Christian Horner and I knew that Hamilton was out there, it's not only a case of me getting in because, let's be honest with you, he is still one of the best drivers. But it doesn't matter how good a driver you are, you've got to have a car that's going to respond to you. You know, you put the best driver in the world. I mean, like I say, Damon Hill in the Arrows or the Jordan. He was never going to win another world championship. But what I would...
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Want us to stop one of my major rivals getting him.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, Lewis Hamilton becoming available from Mercedes is a big possibility. So I think that's an interesting one to sort of... I absolutely agree with Andrew. The Red Bull won't let Perez go. He's a good boy. Yeah, yes. He's fabulous, Sergio Perez. I think him and Verstappen.
Does he want to let, like you say, let's say Aston Martin, and Brad's up with the news here. And well, as do you think Damon Hill will win the F1? It's not cricket, Brad. It's not cricket. But no, I just think they've got to look at that and go, do we want to risk him going to a improving Aston Martin and hold on to Perez, or do we risk maybe cutting Perez short early and taking him on? It's going to be an extremely interesting thing to see what happens.
It's one to watch, I think, for the whole season, especially with the, you know, I think Hamilton will probably have like contract talks as well. I mean, Toto Wolff has been sort of very, very quiet about it. He's not come out and said anything about, obviously, Hamilton wanting to go into contract talks. So, one to watch for the rest of the season, I think. I think this is going to drag on, and we might well see maybe a deal being agreed between somebody for Hamilton. But we'll just need to wait and see. But I think it is one story to look out for the rest of the season.
He may feel that, you know, there's things in the pipeline that's going to happen at Mercedes that are going to that's going to give him that edge, and his best chance will be to stay at Mercedes. And like I say, I don't think there's that many teams that would interest him, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I'm also in agreement with that.
Yeah. Andrew says that I don't think Christian Horner will have Hamilton in his team. I mean, like I say, I'd like to see the fireworks at the staff party if you've got Hamilton and Verstappen together.
But, yeah.
There we go. James said Aston Martin more likely. I think we shall see what happens. We will. It will be in. I think it will depend, obviously, it will depend on how the season goes for Mercedes. I think if they have another one like they did this year, Hamilton's not going to want to play second fiddle to Russell. And no. Unless they can pull something out, I think he'll be gone. But we shall see. But moving on to this weekend, it's the first street circuit of the season. And it's the fastest street circuit of the calendar. As we go from Bahrain to Saudi Arabia. It's quite long and thin, this one, though, isn't it?
As I said, it's not one to overtake. Let's just say that. Obviously, the main sort of pit stretch, I would say. It's going to be a very interesting race. I do like this track. It's very, very fast. It's very, very slick and narrow corners as well. So, pray that it obviously doesn't rain. That's the first thing, because you know, all those narrow corners that you've got there. I wouldn't like to go in an F1 car in the heavy, heavy rain, try to sort of turn to go around. So pray for no rain, definitely.
I can't control my my Corsa in the rain, let alone a bloody Formula One car. But they have made some changes to this to the track for this season. One of the biggest changes is that high-speed left-right sequence at turns 22 and 23, where efforts have been made to reduce speeds by around 50 kilometres an hour by adjusting the fence placement and adding a bevelled curb. Explain this to me, because I've always liked watching F1, but like I say, I don't always understand the rules. Why the hell have they got curbs when you can literally have three quarters of the car over it?
I get the safety aspect of it. I really, really do. But this just seems to be one of those pointless things. Like, you know, don't fix what ain't broke is what the famous saying is. I mean, I look at those two pictures and there's not really much difference. The only difference is obviously like they have sort of widened the sort of the wall there, but I don't think it's going to make any difference, to be honest with you. I, as we said, probably the safety aspect is obviously one of those things, but No, yeah. For me, I don't think they should have changed it, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, they've made the changes as well at turns 14 and 20, but to most people, we'll look at it and we wouldn't have known, would we, let's be honest. Mm. But like I say, and I know this is a street circuit, but when you have, and you've not got the room that you've got in a normal racetrack environment, but like I say, you can see the red and white, you know, curbs going around the track. Why aren't drivers? I mean, they get warnings, don't they, now if they do go the full car width over that? So basically, yeah. It's a bit like snooker players, I guess, having to keep one foot on the floor whatever angle they get the body in to take the shot, they've got to have part of the foot touching the floor. And I guess with Formula One, it's the same, that no matter how far they go across or outside of the actual track, they've got to have, is it one of the wheels or part of the wheel or something on the track. And I have noticed that they have started, and they did in Bahrain, to issue time penalties out if you were consistently not sticking to that. But why do they allow you to even go over that? That's what I don't get.
It's what you call corner cutting. It's very, very easy to do. And you've got to watch yourself, because there are speed traps at these races. There are a lot of speed traps.
There's a little one with a camera going, "Look, you're going too fast."
But no, I corner cutting is a very, very serious thing to do. Almost sort of invalidates your time that you want to make to, you know, for obviously like position for the weekend. So we will go back to Bahrain, because there was one certain driver that had an absolute nightmare of penalties. I think he racked up about 20 to 25 seconds. Like,
he did. Yes.
It was awful.
I'm trying to remember who it was.
Esteban Ocon.
Ocon, yes, yeah. I've never seen that in a race before. I couldn't keep up with it, because he was getting another time penalty before he served his last time penalty.
Yeah, literally, he got one for like 5 seconds.
Yes.
And what happened was, he basically stayed in the pit lane, but they didn't actually release him for the 5 seconds. I believe they released him in 4 seconds. So
yeah,
you have to serve your time penalties, and then obviously, you know, you've seen again, oh, car 31, knock on, and I was like, again, and then you see it, oh yeah, 5 second time penalty. No, that's 10 seconds. Yeah, that's 10 seconds. Then he goes and does something stupid again by speeding in the pit lane. Oh, there's another 5 seconds, 15 seconds, and then it was just comical. But it was just schoolboy error from Ocon, who we thought would be an interesting driver, to say the very, very least. But no, to get that many penalties in one race, it was comical, I've got to say.
It was, and I mean, let's have a look at. I mean, I think he ended up withdrawing in the end, didn't he? He didn't make it all the way.
Yeah,
down.
He did. Yeah,
probably. He just said, "Oh, sod it. What's the point?" You know, to be honest with you. I mean, it's easy to look at one race, one chart, and that's how it stands at the moment. Red Bulls 1 and 2. I've got to say, the thing I don't like about the dominance thing is, you knew sort of almost really once Max Verstappen had got the lead, that was it, wasn't it? You know, you could, unless it was going to be a mechanical failure or a huge driver error, and you wouldn't expect that from sort of the leading drivers. Pretty much once he'd got that lead, he wasn't going to give it up, was he?
Yeah, I think he was ahead for like 40 seconds or something, wasn't he? So it's just, you don't want to see Verstappen dominate all season. Because then it will become sort of like, you know, boring and, you know, predictable as well. So, you know, hopefully that we might see a bit of like Verstappen maybe finishing second or third, or maybe, you know, even, you know, Verstappen, you know, retiring. That would be very, very intriguing, to say the very, very least. But no, I think you're right. I think once Verstappen got the lead, it was always going to be one-way traffic, unfortunately, for the rest of them.
Anthony says tractors are faster, but of course, coming from Bristol, he'd know all about tractors, wouldn't he?
Anthony.
It's what he drives. It's his transport of choice when he's going off out for a night on the cider. What do you think? Because I can remember when, being the old git that I am, when it used to start at 10 points for a win, and then 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. And in a way, I preferred that because it kept it more... You didn't have the runaway... You know, I mean, if Max Verstappen wins in Saudi Arabia, that'll give him 50 points. Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a lead straight away, isn't it, really? I mean, I prefer it 10 or 20 down to 1, depending where you end up in the race.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've had this sort of point system for a while. And I don't see it changing anytime soon as well.
I don't think they will, but
no.
To me, it's just like, again, it's giving the top teams, you know. I mean, let's say, for example, Bottas, who Nate's gone for, Alfa Romeo. Let's say there's a few crashes and he has a great race and he wins one. He knows deep down it's not going to suddenly give, you know, propel him into the top of the leaderboards or anything. It's almost unfair, if you like, you know. But looking at that, and you can see there it going, you know, everybody on the left has got points, everybody on the right hasn't. Thought Sargeant had a good Formula One for his debut.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good drive. Just unfortunately that he didn't get in the points, but I think he'll take confidence from that and hopefully go into this one with trying to get some points. I was so disappointed in Lando Norris. I had big hopes for him, and again it just didn't happen for Lando. But yeah, obviously there's Mr. Ocon. Mr.
Did Lando have car trouble?
Yeah, Leclerc.
Yes,
it doesn't surprise me with him. Shame about Oscar Piastri. I thought he was actually having a pretty good race up until he had to obviously retire as well. But Leclerc, you just hope that this race, that obviously he is getting that penalty, but you would obviously hope that he would, you know, be, let's say if he gets second or something, then he's obviously 12th. If he gets third, then he's obviously 13th. Obviously, if he gets pole, then, you know, he's 11. So, yeah, it's a real, real shame for Leclerc. But as we said, it's a tricky, tricky Grand Prix to, you know, overtake this one. So
you don't really want to go back on the grid when it's a street race, do you?
Definitely not.
You know, I'm just thinking that, as you know, as Ferrari as a company, I'm just having a look there. Would you say if Carlos Sainz is sitting in pole and... Charles Leclerc is sitting in pole and the Ferraris are having a great, you know, run in, and Perez could be... Sainz has a chance of snatching pole, would you be saying to him, look, you know, finish second, you're going to get a pole anyway, and then it gives Leclerc an extra place further down the grid?
Yeah, I mean, you could easily do that. But it's just such a shame that we're into the second race already and we're getting a good penalty for a driver who has had so much reliability issues ever since he's joined Ferrari as well. And I do think Carlos Sainz is capable of getting pole position. But as whether or not he will get pole position, and obviously, you know, with obviously Leclerc dropping down, I mean, I think Leclerc can get into the points, but I'm not so sure how many points, if you know what I mean.
Yes. On the flip side, it does give sort of some of the drivers lower down the grid, moves them up a little, well, moves them up one place, I guess, but it gives them the chance. But you would think that, you know, a driver of Leclerc's ability and the car that he's got, that he should be able to get up into the top 10 from wherever he is. Just quickly then looking at how the teams stand. Red Bull, I mean, you know, look at that lead already.
Yeah, 20 points.
43, 23 to Martin. Mercedes already, you know, 12, Ferrari. Mm. Sorry, Mercedes 16, Ferrari 12, and then Alfa Romeo 4. I mean, to be honest with you, it looks almost like, you know, Scottish Premier League table, doesn't it? You know, with the top guys there, or even the English Premier League table at the moment. I just think, I mean, can you see, or who do you think, we've said about Aston Martin, but in fairness, I think they finished fourth or fifth last season anyway. So they were always in a good position to build on that. Can you see any of the sort of the teams near the bottom causing a stir at all? I mean, none of them are going to win it, obviously, but can you see sort of any of them sort of from Alpine down actually ending up in the top half?
Well, I suppose Gasly for Alpine managed to get into the points in Bahrain. So if I had to say, probably Alpine as well. But obviously, you know, McLaren are a fantastic team to have, and you would obviously hope that Lando Norris learns from his mistakes at Bahrain and just has a bit of a focus for, you know, for the Jeddah. I honestly, if I had to say somebody, I would probably say McLaren. I would say McLaren at this moment in time, but
yeah,
it's still long, long way to go, as we know.
Of course, AlphaTauri, which is sort of Red Bull's second team, I have read somewhere, and I believe are up for sale. Red Bull could consider selling. And there is an American team that could leader. I'm trying to think. It's an ex Formula One driver who's very, very big in obviously NASCAR and all the Le Mans and all that sort of thing. That is considering. That's been trying to get in with a team, you know, with a brand new Formula One team, and they've kind of. Like, we want to stick at 20 for some reason. Again, years and years ago, they had a lot more teams than just 10, but they wanted to stick with 20 drivers. That may have said that might be his way of getting in to Formula One. So, again, another story to look out for, to see whether AlphaTauri could actually end up being, you know, sold by Red Bull. And somebody, I wish it's going to annoy me now as to who it was that was taking it over. As soon as I come offline, you can bet I'll remember. And there's a lot of talk about women Formula One drivers this season. Do you think we will ever see a woman? There's no reason why. You know, it's a sport that they can compete on a level playing field. You know, you know, because obviously it's your ability to drive. And it says here, like, you know, is Formula One finally taking women seriously? I mean, and avoiding all the jokes about women's drivers and, you know, saving fortunes because they don't pay them as much, all that. But, you know, on the serious side, there's nothing to stop them if they're doing well, is there?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we've seen in, like, snooker, Breanne Evans, for example, she is a women's world champion in snooker, and she's actually been playing against the men quite recently as well. So I do think there is a way for women to be involved in F1. Obviously, the one I remember, Susie Wolf, I think it was her name. I think she was in F1 for a little bit, and obviously she's no longer in, you know, F1 at the moment in time, but she was one of them ones that was in F1. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you've had women sort of, you know, chairman and chairwomen as well. So I can see a way for women to be in F1 for sure. I mean, if other sports can do it, why can't F1 do it?
Yeah, and I think, like you say, you look at certain sports, and snooker, like you say, is one of them. Therefore, pool would be as well, where it doesn't matter whether you're male or female, you know, and certainly in this one. And I've got to be honest, I've just found out Mario Andretti is the person.
Oh, yeah.
AlphaTauri. It says here, the silly season for 2023 is crazy, but the rumour mill is going in full steam ahead. The latest rumours are that AlphaTauri is for sale and that it is Michael Andretti's ultimate chance to have his own F1 team. So that would be interesting. Might make them a bit more competitive as well. Again, pull somebody in. Look, Doug, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. I say best of luck for tonight. Unfortunately, I think there's as much chance as Leicester of winning the Premier League this season. But you never know. Look at Istanbul. There are moments when, you know, miracles happen. Fingers crossed for you, mate. Fingers crossed for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. But yeah.
Be the ones that keep getting the headlines in Europe, please.
Yeah, I like you. I'm not a big fan of Madrid. Hopefully we can do it, but going to be a tough ask, but we'll see.
Are you doing a watch along?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just going to watch it in the comfort of my own home and watch it.
Brilliant. Where can people find you? I mean, Nate says they're good luck, and James gives you a call out there as well. Your details are in the description below, because obviously you're always on the channel, so every show, your description's there. But give a shout out as to where people can find you.
Yeah, it is the Dugout Football Channel on YouTube. I just released a video of my UEFA qualifiers predictions, table predictions. So that was very, very interesting to do. So please go and check that out as well.
Who have you got winning it?
Oh, me win it? Oh, no. It's just the qualifiers this time. I've not got anyone to win it yet.
No. Not a problem. Hey, look, mate, thanks very much. Like I say, fingers crossed for you tonight. And we will speak very soon.
Yeah, I'll speak to you very soon. Take care. See you later.
Thanks, mate. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much to Doug there. Be sure to check out his channel. Like I say, details are below in the YouTube description. He's a great friend of the channel. And we will be covering the Formula One. I'm not sure in what guise, because they won't let me do what I did last time, Formula One. So I can't do the little thing with all the dots going around, which is a shame, because they told me I could. Now they're telling me I can't. But that's Formula One for you. But I'm going to be back at 9 o'clock tonight. We've got another interview coming up. The Conversation. Bob the Cat Bevan. You may or may not know him. But basically, NBE. I know I'm going up in the world, aren't I? NBE. Bob the Cat Bevan, MBE. Brilliant after-dinner speaker. Hopefully we're going to have a laugh and a joke with him. He's a Palace fan. Going to have a laugh and a joke with a Palace fan, haven't you? Be back at 9 o'clock. Be sure to be there. Please join us. And until that time, I'm going to hand you over and say thank you very much for watching and thank you very much for listening if you have done so on the podcast. It has been a pleasure, and thank you for lending me your ears. As usual, it's over to Arnie.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That's all, folks.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.